What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Just me today. B's got some stuff to take care of. You're listening to B. Mitch Finley. My name's J.P. Finley. I have a new Maryland Terrapin shirt. Now, Landfill, look at me. Look at me in all of my beauty. Is there any way I have a jacket over my shirt? Could you at all identify that this is a Maryland shirt?
No.
Shout out to Eagle Eye Valdez from 40 yards away. He's like, looks like somebody got new Terp swag. I don't know how the hell he figured it out, but he's right. If you're looking on the stream, I got new Terp swag. Shout out Steve Lieberman. We had a lot of fun yesterday in College Park doing the show. We're back. I'm back in studio today. Let's see who won today, Jeff. Scrolling up. Tay W, first comment on the stream. Good morning, Tay. Good morning to everybody on the team. You heard from Landfill. Jeff is here. Saw Jeff parking his car this morning. The parking enforcement was right behind me. I was trying to be your fullback, Jeff, because I know you're the white whale of that parking enforcement. They're trying to get a hold of that green Jeep, dog.
So you seen that parking space I was in?
Yeah.
I had to hurry up and bust the U.
When I saw this very aggressive green Jeep pulling a U-turn in the middle of the street, I was like, oh, it must be Jeff. I have stuff to give him. So I pulled up right on you. You were shook.
No, I wasn't shook. I'm looking. I'm like, who is this car trying to box me in? Like, what
well, I was also
really...
I was running interference on the parking enforcement behind you.
Oh, so look, where I parked that is a dead zone. So
sure it is, bud.
They can't boot me there. They can't ticket me there. Nothing. So that's why
a good spot. Right
that's
there.
A good spot. That's why I was like, hold on, let me whip around.
Well, I'm glad it worked out. A lot of sports last night. Shout out to the Wizards, first win of the year. Let's go. Maybe we talk a little whiz later in the program. Yankees, for the Aquarium boys, that joint is over. I didn't love the ump strike zone. It seemed a little inconsistent, especially on the bottom half. And that was a big called third strike. Was that Torres, I think? But the Dodgers are just a wagon, dude. I don't know what to tell you. It was a good two TV night, though. Had a lot working. Still, even with the Wiz getting their first win, the World Series, I still watch mostly the football game. I talked to Bees last night at like 8, and he was really impressed that I was watching baseball instead of football. I was like, well, Bees, the football just hasn't kicked off yet. I think with that football game last night, I was reminded of a few things. Are we sure the Giants are well coached? They just make dumb mistakes. And Daniel Jones throws a bad pick late, and TJ Watt's a monster and forces that fumble late. But, like, they just make bad mistakes, dude. Like, over and over and over. They have some talent. The kid Tracy could play. For all the conversation that, you know, Motor Singletary was going to replace Saquon, it's all Tracy. And it does make you kind of, if you just want to play the math and the salary cap game, which oddly I think some fans are far too obsessed about salary cap space, like it's your money. Like there's any advantage to a fan for a team being $30 million under the cap if they're not spending to it. But the logic behind not paying veteran running backs because you can generally not match the level of production and success, but you can get near that level of production and success at a far cheaper rate was on display last night. Saquon's been killing it all year, but the kid Tyrone Tracy, a fifth rounder out of Purdue, I believe, has been fantastic since he's kind of assumed the role there for the Giants. Last night he went 20 carries for a 145 with a touchdown. But at the end of that game, I thought it was pretty apparent he was getting overcooked, and he kept coming off. He kept needing to blow, going to the sideline. But he was all the offense they had because Daniel Jones is just wildly inconsistent. And finally, Cam Hayward took him down, and Cam Hayward is a big man. Jeff, give me a size on Cam Hayward. That dude's got to be 6'3", 330 or something. Tracy's head hits the ground hard, and Hayward, this is pretty rare when it's not like a clear injury, like a bone is broken or like an ankle got twisted the wrong way. But when the defensive tackle, give me the size.
6'5", 295.
Damn.
Sheesh.
That's a big fella right there. Did you notice at the end of this game, he takes Tracy down hard, and I think he got linebacker support on it, and he calls for the trainers. Like, when the D-tackle is calling for the trainer to come help the running back, and there's no clear, like, oh, his arm went the wrong way, you know the kid is cooked. They took him right off the field. You hope that he's okay, because last night was one of those, man, they might be overusing this dude, but that's also the position, that's also the game. But just the Giants are a mess. I think you can make a real argument they're poorly coached. 11 penalties for 65 yards last night. And when they had a chance that, frankly, I thought was unnecessary, they pulled to within 8 late in the game. You could just kick there. There's no rule against kicking there. But all the analytics bros came at me last night when I asked, like, why do you feel compelled to go for that? Okay, I understand the math. You can go for it. I can subtract 8 from 14. I can do all these things. And if you want to play for the win on the road, that's fine. Did you see the play call? Because you could tell me all damn day to go for 2 there. But did you see the play they called on the 2-point conversion? I'm legit asking. Landfill, did you stay up and watch that? Have you seen it?
It was a dumb screen. And
it was like swinging gate. Like it was, yeah. They had the line split and then nobody
blocked.
Yeah,
and they blocked. Didn't block the guy?
Yeah, no, yeah. He ran straight through.
I don't know if maybe Daniel Jones, because I was back and forth on audio between that and the World Series. Maybe it seemed like Daniel Jones went fast on it, which I don't know why you would, but they certainly didn't block. The play was immediately blown up. I mean, that play call, which I believe Daboll took back play calling, was just unbelievably awful. I was just thinking about this last night. So, John Mara, I feel like Mara's trying to do his best to let Joe Shane and Brian Daboll not have to deal with the New York media constantly asking about their jobs. And I applaud that from Mara, okay? But he keeps saying they're cool, they're fine, you know, don't worry about it, we're not looking to make changes. But if you're the Giants, how are you not looking to make changes? And if you're not, that team is now 2-6, I believe, this season, right? Yeah, they're 2-6. Since Daboll took over, they had the good year. They went 9-7-1, and they were able to beat the Vikings. Then they had to pay Danny Dimes, which just looks like a cataclysmic mistake. For everybody who wants to celebrate their salary cap, like, I don't know what the Giants have going there with Daniel Jones. I mean, they've drafted maybe fairly well. But if you are really going to not, if you're really going to keep going with Shane and Daboll, you get out of the Jones contract after this year, right? There's no guarantee on there. You start to save $20 million in cap space. Like, you can get out of it. You know what's great is I don't have to look at Tankathon anymore for where the Commanders are going to be drafting. If the season ended today, you know where Washington would pick?
29th.
Correct.
Silly.
Dude, you know what's awesome? This is now my 4th football season doing this radio program. I've been doing football for a while, but 4 hours of radio is a different beast. This is our 4th season of B. Mitch and Finley, and nobody's calling about the draft. Like, we haven't made it to Halloween without draft talk in a while, and damn, that feels good. But if you're the Giants, dude, just let me play this out. Right now, the Giants have the 9th pick. Who knows what that looks like down the road? I watch a lot of college football. Maybe outside of Cam Ward, I don't know that I'm particularly excited about any of these quarterbacks. But if you're John Mara and you're telling the truth, and maybe it is to be determined. I think that's fair if it's a tentative assurance about his coach and general manager. But, like, if you don't make a change and you want to keep running it with this crew, you're talking about a team that they went 6-11 last year, 2-6 this year. They make bonehead penalties. The play call on that 2-point conversion was just asinine to me. And you're going to have a top 10 pick. You're going to let these dudes run the show again? Like, you're going to re-rack it with this crew and you're going to end up drafting Quinn Ewers to rebuild the franchise? I don't know. Like, you never, the NFL's gone crazy. Maybe, like, they trade for Dak. Who the hell knows, right? But is this it's one thing to want some continuity, and I understand that and applaud it, but do you want continuity with these dudes? Like, have they shown you that? And then I flip it over to Pittsburgh, watching them last night, who there is some bizarre scouting element to watching Monday Night Football and knowing that's the Commanders' next two games. You know what I mean? Like, all right, well, they got the Giants this coming weekend, and then they get the Steelers. Also, let's point out a little schedule incongruity, if we can. Commanders just played the Bears coming off a bye. Then they get the Steelers coming off a bye. And their bye's not till week 14. File that one away, Jeff, when we air our grievances later in the year. That you get two teams coming off a bye, and you don't get your bye till damn near the end of the season? Things that make you go, hmm. The things with New York that I think are very alarming, the way they ran the football against Pittsburgh, that's a really good defense. I don't know what Tracy's status is. Jeff, see if you give me a Tyrone Tracy injury update from last night. I imagine he was concussed. It sure looked that way. And a concussion on a short week to a running back where there's a lot of collisions, I'm going to let the doctors handle that, but that would seem pretty doubtful to me. Malik Nabers drops the ball all the time. He's an explosive talent, but the drops are bad.
He suffered a concussion.
He's concussed. So he's going to be in the protocol. I find that hard to believe. He's ready to rock Sunday at 1 o'clock, but things happen. So I guess they lean back on Singletary. Attention, New York. Everybody that wanted to run Bobby Johnson out of town and say he was the problem with that Giants O-line, I think you're wrong. I think you've been proven incorrect, as a matter of fact. Bobby Johnson here in Washington, that O-line is performing. Those guys love him. I think that for a lot of those guys that were in the room last year, the change from Eric Bieniemy and Juan Castillo to Cliff Kingsbury and Bobby Johnson, very well received. Believe me when I say that, very well received. On the Washington end of this, we got to see what's up with B-Rob. He didn't get many carries in the second half. I guess he was on the Junkies this morning. I don't know if they asked him about that. If they did, I'd love to hear that answer. He was really a non-factor from the third quarter on. But for the Giants, are you really going to re-rack that? You think it's different without Danny Dimes as some rookie quarterback? Or a rookie and Tyrod? Or a rookie and Brissett? I don't know what they got. And I understand and applaud Mara because they've had so much turnover. If you think about since they fired Coughlin, which maybe was the wrong move, I don't know. And maybe they claimed it wasn't a firing and he retired, but I'm not. He didn't seem very happy about it. Think about what has rolled through. So they hired Gettleman up there, who just churned and burned coaches. You went McAdoo, if you recall, who. They gave Spagnuolo an interim chance at it. They fire Spags at the end of the year. He goes to be the Chiefs DC and just keeps winning assistant of the year. Maybe should have given Spags a real chance at it. I don't know. Then they hired, let me be totally honest with you here, Lamphill. The Shermer that the Giants hired, what was his first name? It was either Kevin, Pat, or Mike. Giants head coach, two seasons, Shermer.
I think it was Pat.
Jeff, you got a guess? I know it's either Kevin, Pat, or Mike.
I feel strongly that it was not Mike.
Okay.
But it could have been Kevin. I think it was Pat.
Because there's another Shermer that was on the skin staff that was his son. I
put like 80% that it's Pat.
80% yeah. Pat. Where you at, Jeff?
I'm going to go with that, too, because that name just sounds familiar.
Pat Shermer. Way to go there, boys. Pat Shermer was there two seasons. I mean, listen to the record since they fired Coughlin, okay? McAdoo gets an 11-5, then they immediately fall apart. New York chews him up, 3-13. Shermer, two seasons, 5-11, 4-12. Remember Joe Judge? Remember how that went? Joe Judge lasted 2 years, 6-10, 4-13. They hire Daboll. He has the 9-7-1 year where they win that Vikings. Dude, if you go back and think about this, I believe that Giants team made the playoffs at 8-7-1, right? Okay, no, they were 9-7-1 in the regular season. The Vikings win got them to 10-7-1. If the New York Giants football organization could go back and redo it, They beat the Vikings, who were really good that year, at Minnesota. If you remember, Kirk had to check down on fourth down in the playoffs. Yee, that won't haunt him. They beat the Vikes 31-24 to go to the division round. Then they play the Eagles the year the Eagles were a wagon and went to the Super Bowl, got their doors blown off 38-7. You get some truth serum in John Mara, hell, even Brian Daboll. You think they wish they lost that Viking game? Because that's what got Daniel Jones paid. They paid him $45 million a year for the next 2 years. And then they weren't in the quarterback sweepstakes in all these drafts. I don't know. I almost wonder the way he hadn't been good, but I almost wonder if they wish they took Bo Nix or even J.J. McCarthy, who got injured. When the Giants send out their renew your season tickets because of this, what is that angle? Jeff, what are they selling? Dexter Lawrence is fantastic. I don't know that a nose tackle sells tickets. Just that it's New York? You want to be there?
I guess. Or they got strong fandom.
We
was in it.
We have seen this movie. Whether you make a change or not, and you don't want to, I understand that for continuity. I don't know. All that said, I think it's terrifying that the Commanders are going up there as favorites this weekend. And then you flip to the Steelers, and we all kind of questioned why you make the move from Fields to Russ Wilson. Mike Tomlin rarely misses, dude. Wilson last night was really good, 20-28, 278. He connected on a couple deep balls that were really good throws. He did have the fumble at a really inopportune time. Russ also not very interested in running with the football, not interested in a lot of contact anymore. But when that Steelers pass rush, and T.J. Watt is phenomenal, I don't want to take anything away from him, but Alex Highsmith on the other side, damn good. Just really, really good. And Minka Fitzpatrick floating around on the back end. That team is good, man. And I don't know, you know, kind of how it goes forward. I do know this, Lanville, that there's no guarantees on Highsmith's contract next year, the year after. He signed an extension, and he's making good money, but there's no guaranteed money. And if that is a dude that ever hit free agency – and he's young, and he's a really high motor, aggressive pass rusher. That's the kind of fella I'd have some interest in the free agent market, Lanville. I want you to know that. The Steelers, dude, they might be something that matters. And for all the talk of the Ravens, and now the Bengals seem like they're fading, the Steelers might be something that matters. And it's easy if you want to be dismissive of them. But since Russ, they've always had the defense. Since Russ has taken over, the offense now has a vertical pass game. They run the ball well. That's something to watch. If you look just at the AFC, Bills are 6-2, Steelers are 6-2, Ravens after that god-awful loss to Cleveland, 5-3, Houston 6-2, Chiefs 7-0. The cream is starting to separate from the crop in the AFC. Sure, the Broncos are 5-3. I think that's... if the Broncos get in as the wild card and have to play Houston or Baltimore, imagine if Baltimore gets to go to Denver. Give me all the stock in the Ravens in that game. I think I would look at Denver as a little fool's goldie, but they do have a good defense and they try to run the ball. Playoffs right now would be Broncos going to Buffalo in round one. I will lay the points, Lanfill. Whatever the points are, I will lay them. One very lame thing from last night. I guess I'm very late. You want me to break? Okay. Hell, B's not here. I'm just yapping. One incredibly lame thing from last night that we, at least as a people, nobody else is ever going to admit it because, at least for a long time, the Rooneys ran the NFL. But there's one very lame thing they're celebrating in Pittsburgh that we need to dispel. Nobody go anywhere. Be Mitch Fiddler. Shout out to my friend Lee Armstrong. Just welcomed a baby boy to the world. He and his wife. Nolan Armstrong. Congrats, Nolan. Can't wait to meet you, pal. He just sent me a picture. The first thing he did, they're literally in the nursery. What do you call it? Where the babies are. I should know this. I've been there. Where the babies are in the hospital.
Hospital.
Yeah, that works. He's playing Hail to the Redskins to the little boy. He's hours old. He also said his wife wouldn't let him name him Jaden. So Nolan it is. Nolan's a good name. Congrats, buddy. Did either of you watch the game? Jeff, you were probably at the club. Landfill, you were probably asleep. Did either of you watch Monday Night Football?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Did you notice over and over and over the OTPHJ that Monday Night Football was giving the Steelers about their undefeated streak on Monday Night Football? Did you hear that? I think Joe Buck and Troy Aikman do a fantastic job. I honestly wish the Manning cast, I wish they would just do like 2 hours of highlights on Tuesday night, because I like the Manning cast and I like Buck and Aikman, and I flip back and forth, and I wish I didn't have to separate the two. But it was really, really gratuitous how they kept talking about this Steelers undefeated streak on Monday Night Football. I suppose it stretches 20 years or so. Landfill, do you remember what happened on Monday, December 7th? Not 1941, let's be clear about that. Monday, December 7th, 2020. Peak COVID, we're all wearing masks. Going into the winter, the COVID winter. Do you remember what happened that day?
I probably took a nap.
That's a fair odds. Well, the Commanders were scheduled to play Pittsburgh on Sunday, December 6th. But this was peak COVID. This was crazy times in our world. So the game got pushed back, and the then Washington football team played the Steelers Monday, December 7th at 5 o'clock. Steelers were undefeated. The football team at that point, I think, was 5-6. No, they were maybe 4-7. Because they got hot late. Yeah, they were 4-7 going into Pittsburgh. Steelers were undefeated. And you know what happened? Washington went up there and won. Alex Smith, Dustin Hopkins made a bunch of field goals. It was a really fun, exciting game. Pittsburgh got up 14-0, and Logan Thomas caught a touchdown from Alex Smith to tie it up late. Peyton Barber had a touchdown in that game. Anybody remember the Peyton Barber era in burgundy and gold? And my thing is, I understand that Monday Night Football is more of a branding exercise, right? Like, the actual brand of MNF is a separate thing, and that was not a Monday Night Football game. I believe it was on. It wasn't even on ESPN. I think it was a CBS game because it was weird afternoon, and it was 5 o'clock. I'm not saying that their record shouldn't count, but they got to chill promoting the hell out of it because you lost on a Monday 4 years ago. Like, just... I get it, but it's kind of fugazi. That's all I'm saying.
I remember that game, the Steelers, but they were 11-0, but they were a terrible team. Like, it was one of the more remarkable things that
they started really good and then just got awful.
They were so bad. Yeah. They turned into a terrible team after about 8 weeks, and they somehow managed to win three games that they really should have lost. They ended up finishing the season, I think it was 1-4. Down the stretch. They were so
bad. And
they got
boat race in the playoffs.
Yeah, and they lost to the Browns. That was the worst 11-0 team I've ever seen. I was in awe of it.
They were bad. All right. Driving downtown this morning, I was listening to the Ryan Russillo podcast. And he was just openly mocking the young man Tyreek Stevenson. And it allowed me a moment of pause because I was at NBC all afternoon yesterday, and we talked about the Hail Mary. And we showed the clip over and over, and that was fun, and you realize how fun that is. But this dude, Stevenson, when you go back and think about it, what are you doing, dude? What are you doing? What are you doing? It worked out well for Washington, no complaints, but if you live under a rock, Tyreek Stevenson was the Bears defensive back who was jawing the whole game. And got in Terry's face, maybe laid a cheap shot right into Terry's back, the crown of his helmet. It's debatable. I don't think it's really debatable. But I think Tyreek Stevenson on the game winner for Washington is talking smack to fans as the play is developing. It was unbelievable. We didn't get a chance to do this yesterday. Here's Tyreek Stevenson explaining what was going on with that Hail Mary.
The play was, I posted box out 85. Had to be the play was, cheering on, just cheering with some Bears fans. Wasn't taunting, no fans. It was just cheering with some Bears fans, and the Washington fans reacted how they wanted to. And my job was to box out 85. And, you know, when I went up to hit the ball, it was pretty much to knock it down, you know, interceptions, and, you know, especially in a close game like that. So just try to make a play for my team. And, you know, it either could have went, oh, Tyreek, you know, good pass, knocked down, or we're in the situation we're in right now.
I suppose it could have gone either way.
I mean, he said multiple times his job was to box out 85. He didn't do that.
No.
He went for the ball, and he ended up tipping it to him.
Yep. If you recall, when the Bears were on Hard Knocks, I gave you my immediate read on Matt Eberflus, that this is not a quality head coach, and that, like, he tried to change his image for Hard Knocks and act like he's super cool. Good luck. Maybe they make the playoffs and lose in the wild card. That's my assessment of the Bears. Here's Matt Eberflus on giving up a Hail Mary to lose it.
You're defending a touchdown there, and them throwing a ball for 13 yards or 10 yards, whatever that is, doesn't really matter. It's always going to come down to that last play. And it came down to a two-second play to the last play.
Pause,
we
got
to execute
quick
on that one.
Because he's just wrong. Like, if Terry doesn't get the 13-yarder before that, you can't even run the Hail Mary. Because you have to throw the ball 85 yards in the air, and you can't. Like, that was probably about as far as Jaden can chuck it, especially with the rib injury. And it was, what, 65 yards in the air? So if you don't have the 13-yarder before it, you're running some nonsense hook and ladder, throw a million laterals, see what we can do. So, coach, you're incorrect. How about a coach that knows what he's doing? Bill Belichick on the Manning cast last night. It was pretty fun because he had Lawrence Taylor on there and everything. Bill Belichick talking about the Hail Mary that the entire NFL has been discussing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a ridiculous play. You know, doesn't get the call, doesn't know how they're going to play it. It looks like Washington is trying to run a little bit of an over route too, where they would run past that jump ball area. And then everybody kind of scrambles back to the middle once Daniels buys time and resets. But it's really a great job by Washington. They have two guys going up for the ball, one guy playing for the front tip, one guy playing for the back tip. And obviously a terrible play by Stevenson. He has no idea what's going on and runs over there and jumps up and volleyballs it up in the air for a game-losing play. It's terrible.
Tell me how you really feel, Coach. God, I love that. I could listen to that all damn day. That's my idea, not that anybody asked, for the Manning cast, is instead of go head-to-head with Monday Night Football, do a Tuesday night, like the old NFL primetime. Just Eli, Peyton, bring Bill in there. It's fantastic. What else is fantastic? Wizards get their first win of the year, and we got to have an honest conversation. I'm not knocking you. I need somebody to explain to me the appeal. I saw a dude on Independence Avenue today driving a purple. Not that the car, the vehicle's not a statement enough. My man had a purple Cybertruck. Please somebody call and explain to me why you buy the Cybertruck. Nobody go anywhere. You're paralyzed. Are we going all MJ today? Is there like an anniversary or something? I'm into it. Do you think either Taylor Swift or Beyonce are bigger pop stars than MJ was at his peak?
No.
I don't think anybody is. Maybe the Beatles or something, right? Like, I think that's just another planet. In the 80s, there wasn't, like, constant information like there is now. Wiz get their first win last night. Shout out to the Washington Wizards. Look, man, this is not going to be a season where they win a ton of games, so don't be overly alarmed by that. But, you know, on the road in Atlanta, it's a good dub. I think I saw Chase Hughes posted some stuff that Bilal Coulibaly played some really good defense. I find that really encouraging. Kuz dropped 25 and 11. Jordan Poole had 26 points. Kispert added another 21. Saar playing some good defense. Encouraging. They're 1-2, Lanfield. This may be the closest point to 500 all year. Now, I did want to have a brief conversation. Driving down Independence Avenue this morning, and I've seen a few of these. And Jeff, answer the phones. If somebody will call in and tell me why they've bought a Cybertruck, I would love to hear it. There's somebody on there, Jeff, line two. I'm not mad at Cybertrucks. If you have one and you like it, good for you. I'm not here to tell you what is right and what is wrong. I just know when I see them, I'm like, yo, that thing is ugly as hell. This dude that was driving one today picked it to be purple. Jeff, all right, so Lanfield tweeted out who was actually buying Cybertrucks. And Jeff replied, I would buy one.
Yes. The high-end ones, dude, those things are racing Porsches. I like the they're all-wheel drive. Each tire basically got its own motor. It's adorable truck. It's spacious. I've been inside of it at the car show last year, or was it earlier this year? I would get one. It's an adorable truck.
Okay. This dude, Mike, responded, people who want to buy an American-made truck that runs on electric because they care about the environment and they like the power it puts down. That's fair. I mean, the Tesla plant's in Texas or something, right? Like, it is an American-made truck. It is electric. But, like, I'm pretty sure GMC or Chevy has an American-made truck, too, that is electric. I know that there's an F-150 that's electric. I know that. I don't want to judge because I'm sure I'm going to end up knowing someone that has one and there's a reason to it. They just look different. Chief Hog 202 says, people who just want to say they have a Cybertruck. People don't buy for need anymore. They buy for clout. A look at me society, if you will. If I was to get one, I wouldn't get a purple one. I can tell you that. Does this dude on line one have one? Okay.
I would never buy one. Why would you want? It was like Indiana Jones meets Temple of Doom. It's horrible.
All right. You seem to care a lot about this. Why?
Because I see too many of them in Fairfax, and they're ugly, and why would you spend money on them? And why would you give Elon Musk any money anyway?
All right. Thank you, Kev. All right. That's one vote anti-Cybertruck. I could see Drab driving a Cybertruck, although he's a BMW man.
Yeah, Drab only drives BMWs, 10-year-old BMWs.
I could see Drab driving a Cybertruck. Here's my thing. If you want a truck, I drove a truck for a while, right? I never understand people that put the covers on the truck, like the pickup covers, unless you're like it's a legit work truck and you have your tools in there and you want to be able to lock it up. But the Cybertruck, to me, doesn't even have the functionality of a truck because it's like got that weird slanted roof. Like, it's not a truck. To me, it's more of an SUV than a truck. Right? Nobody is buying that because they're a carpenter and it's useful. Like, that is not for contractors. It is for the dude I saw on Independence Avenue who's probably like a lobbyist driving to Capitol Hill. I don't know. Maybe they're dope. Lanfield, would you drive one?
No.
Now, I've never driven a Tesla. I don't own a Tesla, but my buddy Papa has one. I've ridden in it a bunch, and they're dope. Like, riding around in a Tesla feels different, rides different. I get the Tesla appeal, right? And I think, like, if you get what's the little Tesla? Is that the Model 3?
Something like that.
Bro, it's not particularly expensive. Like, no. I think you can get one of those for like 40 grand. It's like the same cost as probably a nice Honda Accord or something. Now, obviously, you can go up in brand and price. I understand. How much is a Cybertruck?
80 grand.
You know, that's not as much as I would have thought. Hold on. You sure? Because I'm seeing 100. I'm seeing it starts at 100. But damn, that is a lot of horsepower. It says it's 600 to 845 horsepower. And I don't know a lot about cars, but like, who is it? Somebody with one?
He don't have one, but he know why people like it.
Why do people buy Cybertrucks, sir or ma'am?
Well, a lot of people get them because they weigh over 6,000 pounds, so that's a tax write-off. So a lot of guys that probably own LLCs, small businesses, stuff like that, get them because of that reason.
Really?
And then at the same time, it's electric, so you can get a tax break on it.
All right. So you're getting all sorts of tax breaks with a Cybertruck. That has value.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, dude. Right. That was useful.
You got it, bro. All right.
I'm not here to judge. If you want one, drive it. I don't really understand the purple, but I wouldn't understand purple of any vehicle. A Geo Storm, Suzuki Sidekick. I don't know why you get a purple car. Barstool Nate joins us next.